Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and I have a guest in studio. Welcome, Joe Scott.
Thanks, Bob. It's great to be here.
Joe, it's an honor to have you on the show, co-founder of Pro-Life Colorado. Joe, there are three stories today, and I want to ask you, which do you think we should focus on? Which is, prioritize them, which is the most important? There is an Iowa state representative, strong pro-lifer, who's coming out against National Right to Life's fetal pain bill and in support of personhood.
Woohoo.
So that's one. Then there's the Colorado Springs Gazette. They ran a Colorado Right to Life guest column. That's two, about a principled fetal crimes bill.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is Pro-Life Profiles publishing today their report on the Priest for Life.
Wow. Well, the most important would be Pro-Life Profiles, but why don't we do the others first, Bob?
All right. All right. Let's do that. So we'll save the Frank Pavone profile
for last.
And we'll address these. Okay. So
yeah.
Which should we start with?
The Gazette.
All right.
Okay.
Joe, this column, this was published. When did this hit their
this
paper?
This hit Sunday. That's their largest distribution day.
Yeah.
That's the headquarters for Focus on the Family and a bunch of other Christian ministries down there.
Yeah.
It hit on a great day.
Yeah, about 100 Christian ministries headquartered in Colorado Springs. And that's where Representative Mark Waller is from, pro-life conservative Republican. And
well,
this, what a column this is. It was written by Leslie Hanks. It sounds like it was written with a sledgehammer.
Yay. It needed to be written with a sledgehammer.
It is so good because what happened was Colorado Right to Life had been negotiating with pro-life legislators, especially Mark Waller,
right,
for months, trying to get him to introduce an abortion-neutral fetal crimes bill. And you could read all about that at Colorado Right to Life's website. You could read the whole guest column. And what he did instead, did he introduce an abortion-neutral bill, Joe, do you recall?
No, he did not. It was so upsetting to read that bill that he introduced. It would codify that a child is not a person.
Yeah, according to that bill.
Yeah,
it's
it would
a,
set
I mean,
precedent.
It actually had anti-personhood wording in his bill.
Yes, he did.
That even through all 9 months, nothing in this bill should be construed to indicate that the baby is a person. And it affirmed abortion rights. His bill was filled with abortion politics.
That's right.
On the side of the abortionist.
So who was he talking to?
So, yeah, right. Planned Parenthood supported the bill.
Yeah.
And it was pro-lifers led by Colorado Right to Life. And then every other pro-life group in the state came out against Representative Mark Waller's bill. But this is what he did. He helped the abortionist. Because the media spun this, that Planned Parenthood was reasonable and moderate, and the abortion industry was supporting this bill, and it was the extremist pro-lifers who opposed it.
That's exactly what happened, Bob, and it made my blood boil.
Yeah. So, yeah, the practical outcome, Leslie Hanks writes, Vice President, Colorado Right to Life, of Representative Waller's effort was for him to make the pro-life community look unreasonable, even though we supported an abortion-neutral bill, and for Planned Parenthood to look moderate, even though they refused to support an abortion-neutral bill. So the lesson to learn from this for pro-life politicians, and this is how she concluded her column,
yeah,
is that they should remember which constituency they're most trying to help. That's good for starters, right?
Yeah.
Because he's helping Planned Parenthood. And that should be the unborn child.
That's right.
Isn't that great?
She did a fabulous job.
Yeah. It's a column written but with a sledgehammer. And so great job. And the fact that it appeared in their Sunday paper and on their website on Saturday, so it was out all weekend, just really great. Now, how about in Iowa?
Wow. Representative Tom Shaw. What a guy.
Yeah. So he released the statement today. So why don't you excerpt this for us?
Okay. Representative Tom Shaw, supposedly pro-life fetal pain bill is worse than Roe versus Wade.
Whoa.
Yay, Representative Shaw.
He is so right on this. And he's a state rep from Iowa, Joe. And the personhood movement began in Colorado, mm-hmm. and it's spread all over the country.
Isn't that fabulous?
And there are pro-life leaders like State Representative Tom Shaw who are fighting against the regulations and exceptions of National Right to Life.
He's a courageous man. He said the proper question is not do they feel pain, but it should be are they a person?
Wow.
That's amazing.
That is great. So the question is not does the fetus feel pain, but is he or she a person? That's the question, he says.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what all did he include in his statement? That's the title of his statement. What's in here?
He said even Justice Harry Blackmun in the text of the court's majority opinion openly.
That was Roe v. Wade, right? The Supreme Court. It was written by Republican Justice Harry Blackmun.
Right.
So even Blackmun, what did he admit?
He openly admitted that if a fetus is a person, of course, they're protected by the provisions of the 14th Amendment.
Yeah, so if the unborn is a person, then of course, any good law, any set of laws would protect the innocent person. So he said it comes down to whether or not it's a person.
Right. Says no state shall deprive any person of life without due process of law, nor deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws.
So that's Amendment 14.
14.
So that part of the U.S. Constitution would protect the unborn child as soon as you recognize that the baby is a person.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't protect an unhatched chick.
Right.
Because a chicken unhatched is not a person.
And it has no rights.
Right.
Except to be eaten later on.
Yeah. But if you recognize that the baby in the womb is a person, then even Harry Blackmun admitted, of course, you couldn't have abortion, he said. The abortion argument would collapse. Because if the fetus is a person, then the law, the Constitution, mandates that you protect the unborn child.
Right.
All right. So then what does Representative Tom Shaw make of that?
Well, he says asking whether or not the child can feel pain is not even the right question, any more than it would be if the subject of the legislation were a paraplegic or a child or an adult who's under sedation.
Yeah, right. You might be in the hospital and you don't feel pain. That doesn't mean you could be killed. And he points out the authors of this fetal pain bill who are working with National Right to Life and the pro-life industry, which is a perpetual fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
The authors of this House Bill 5, which is being brought before the Iowa House, admit in the language of the bill that the fetus is a person. They admit that life begins at conception, and yet they allow this person to be killed. And that is why he is saying that this pro-life bill is worse than Roe v. Wade, and it is worse, Joe.
Right, because when they did Roe v. Wade, when Blackmun wrote that,
they said, we don't know if it's a person. We don't believe it's a person.
Right.
Here are people who are supposed to know better saying it's a person, but if you give it a anesthetic, then you could kill it.
It's horrific.
It is absolutely horrific. And Joe, you've been at the front door of an abortion clinic for 30 years now, 5 days a week. Women going in to kill their children, are they ever looking for excuses to try to get them to go through with it?
Oh, yes. Always.
Always.
Always,
right? And so how about if this were the law and the abortionist is now charging extra money to give an anesthetic, a painkiller, to the fetus? Would that come up in their thinking of whether or not to have an abortion?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It would ease their conscience. Oh, well, even if my baby's older and can feel pain, he won't feel pain because he's getting a shot.
Right. So this will undoubtedly, in some cases, increase the likelihood that children will be killed.
Absolutely. I can't see how it wouldn't increase the likelihood.
Right. And there was a debate on that topic, American Right to Life versus Wyoming Right to Life. Peter Ertelt, Stephen Ertelt with Life News, and he refused to admit that there's any possibility that even one child would be killed by the mother concluding that this is a humane procedure.
I remember that disingenuous debate.
Yeah. All right. So this is a thrill that in Iowa, Representative Tom Shaw has come out strongly against the National Right to Life Fetal Pain Bill, and he's doing it on behalf of the right to life of the unborn child.
And hopefully his stand and his bravery will help other representatives come out against any kind of regulation to kill a child.
It's happening. And I got a call from American Right to Life this morning, and they said that they're so thrilled with Tom Shaw's statement and his courage, they are FedExing to him a copy of Focus on the Strategy, the DVD, Focus 2, and the sequel, and the article at American Right to Life's website, Oppose Regulations Because.
Wow, that'll encourage him.
Yeah, I think so.
And maybe help him to encourage others to stand with him.
Yeah, so Joe, now what do we have? We've got pro-life profiles.
Yes, we do.
Which is changing the landscape in America, the battle to protect unborn children, that political landscape is changing because of pro-life profiles.
Yep.
So what is the latest report out?
Well, the latest one is one I've been waiting for a long time. It's Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life.
Yeah.
And his compromise stand on the life of innocent children.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs to get out there. It's very important.
Yeah, it is. And I would say, you know, some of these pro-life profiles are pretty harsh, like the one on Mitt Romney. It's hard to read that without becoming physically nauseous.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just so despicable. There's a new profile out on Ann Coulter. I think people will be fascinated to read the Ann Coulter pro-life profile. This one on Frank Pavone is, I think, generally gracious, but it's true.
It is true.
And I can't see how Frank Pavone would disagree with this. I don't see how he would, because everything here seems to be factually irrefragable.
Irrefragable.
What in the world does that mean? Unassailable. You can't refute the claims because they're not claims. They're just facts.
But the only thing he would refute is the fact that regulating killing unborn children is wrong.
Yeah, right. He would say that's true, but that's not one of the facts presented here. That might be a conclusion, but the facts. So let's get to those. But why don't we give out our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-836-9278. We're interested in what you think about the Iowa State Representative, the Gazette guest editorial by Colorado Right to Life, or the Frank Pavone profile that we'll be talking about, which is at prolifeprofiles.com, or any previous show. The phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Joe, this profile focuses on Frank Pavone failing to warn the politicians that he celebrates that they're going to stand before God when they advocate killing thousands, in fact, millions of innocent children.
That's right. And that's huge. It's not like a secular person not warning others. He's a religious leader. It's his duty, and he's not doing it.
Yeah. And so that's what I mean by these facts are indisputable. He doesn't publicly warn George W. Bush that the millions of children he has supported killing by his own policies, that he is going to stand before God to give an account of that. That's an example of the particulars in this profile. Let's go to the phones, 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. In California, wow, Christine, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob. Good afternoon.
Hi, and you're on with Joe Scott also. Welcome, Christine.
Hi, Christine.
Hi. Yes, Bob, I wanted to compliment you on your interview with Trey Smith.
Oh, about televangelist Mike Murdoch.
Yes.
From
yes.
Daystar TV and elsewhere. He's on a number of these televangelist networks.
Right. I have watched him. Mm. I have.
Well, Trey wrote a fabulous book called Thieves.
Yes.
Joe Scott, let me ask Joe. I don't know the answer. Have you read Thieves by Trey Scott?
I've read excerpts from it.
Excerpts from it. Mm-hmm. And it is a hard-hitting book exposing Mike Murdoch as a fraud. But, Christine, what are your thoughts? And what did you know about Murdoch?
Well, okay, let me tell you give you some feedback on this. Okay, I had recently bought the book and read it myself. And it is a very intense story about Mike Murdoch.
Yeah.
And I was shocked when I learned of this man's character. Mm. I mean, I was very shocked and angry. Mm. And I had even sent an email to his ministry.
Well, about reading the book and what you found out from Trey Smith.
And,
well, thank you for doing that. And Christine, in the Bible, does God, when religious leaders, when they sin, what is God's practice? To sweep it under the rug and don't tell anybody?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
It's the opposite. He puts a spotlight on.
Yeah, that's right. He sure does.
So if somebody loved King David, for example, and when Nathan the prophet comes and exposes King David as an adulterer and a murderer, if you love King David, you're going to thank Nathan the prophet.
Absolutely.
And thank God. If you hate King David or you don't care about what God thinks, you might get mad at Nathan the prophet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, that's right.
So the only question is whether these things are true or false. And there is tremendous evidence and contemporaneous news accounts that show you that the story is true.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Trey Smith grew up with Mike Murdoch's son, Jason.
Right.
And Jason, in fact, lived for some years in Trey's home because of Mike Murdoch's marriage falling apart. And then Mike not being able to raise his own son.
Yeah, that's really sad.
Yeah, and then Trey ends up living for some, period of time in Mike Murdoch's home.
Right.
So he saw these things firsthand.
Right, right.
Christine, did you get an email back from the Murdoch ministry?
No, ma'am, I didn't. What happened was I got a phone call, a recorded message from Mike Murdoch, a recorded message stating that he would be in San Diego,
Wow.
And, I got this call at least two or three times, about within a week.
After you sent your email?
Yeah.
And did you include your phone number?
Yes.
So what that suggests is they didn't even read your email.
No.
And Christine, that is not unusual for the largest televangelist ministries. They ask you to send in your prayer request. And this has been documented where thousands of letters with handwritten prayer requests come in, and they don't even get opened by the ministry.
No.
They go directly to a order fulfillment house, and they open the letters, take the checks, and throw out the letters unread.
Right, right. I believe that.
Yeah.
Because there were times when I had written letters to his ministry, and, and the letters that I got back were not the kind of answer that I was
Nothing to do with what...
Absolutely not. Right.
And it'd be something, at least, even when you write to a U.S. senator, you get a form letter back based on the topic of your letter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't even get that often from televangelist. And I know. I've seen it.
Yes. Yes.
So, all right. So, Christine, you had sent money into Mike Murdoch?
Yes, I have. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
But,
and so, are you glad that you have read Trey Smith's book? Or would you rather not know?
You better believe I am. Oh, I sent a commentary to the Denver Examiner.
Oh, yeah.
To Trey Smith. I said, thank God for Trey Smith. He took the blinders off.
Wow.
And I see Mike Murdoch for what he really is. Yeah.
And Christine, it gets ugly when you look into this world of televangelism. There is so much sexual immorality. From Jimmy Swagger to down in Colorado Springs, the pastor of one of the largest church in Colorado. Joe, you remember the pastors having an affair with a homosexual prostitute, Ted Haggard. And then you have Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn, Benny Hinn.
Oh, my God.
With a young woman while he's going through his divorce in Rome. And Benny Hinn stated publicly that they just happened to be there at the same time in different ministries. The National Enquirer, of all places, publishes a photograph of Benny Hinn coming out of a posh hotel in Rome, holding hands with this woman with a super short skirt on. Then admitted that he flew her out to Rome. So they didn't just happen to be there.
No.
I mean, she's smiling ear to ear. They're on a date in a romantic city in Europe while he's getting a divorce. It's through and through the televangelist movement. It's so mostly frauds.
Looted.
Mostly frauds.
I'm beginning to believe that now.
Yeah.
As I was about to tell you, when I sent the email to Mike Murdoch's ministry, I told him, I was angry, I'm hurt, and I'm sickened by what I've been reading about you.
Mm.
And I said, I told him, as of right now, effective immediately, I am ceasing all financial partnership.
Well, very good. Christine, what city do you live in California?
I live in Alpine.
Alpine. Oh. Where's Alpine? Joe, do you know where Alpine is?
Yeah, is it east of San Diego?
Yes. Yeah. It's a rural area, San Diego.
All right. Christine, thank you very much for that courageous stand and for being willing to go into this with your eyes open.
Yes.
Because otherwise, the body of Christ begins to corrode from within.
That's right.
And it's corrupt.
It's like a cancer.
It's a cancer.
And it must be cut out.
And you know what? Unbelievers, they see it and they remember the fraud. And Christians like to sweep it under the rug. And that is the exact opposite of what God wants us to do.
Right.
Thank you, Christine. May God bless you.
Bob?
Yes?
Are you still raising a fund? Do you still need funds for pro-life and stuff?
We always need funds.
we do, Christine. We do struggle. We don't take in the millions that some ministries do. You know, we don't sell miracles here.
No.
But
the funds are always needed to keep the show on the air and to get the word out about killing innocent little baby boys and girls.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we really do need financial support, Christine. Just like every ministry does, every valid ministry.
So I just go on to your website and...
Well, yeah, that's one way, kgov.com. You could click on the store and make a donation or support, or you could get a subscription to our monthly videos or Bible studies.
Right.
Or, Christine, we could put you on hold and the call screener could talk to you right now.
Oh, I think I'll just go on to your website.
All right.
That'll save time.
All right. That sounds
great. Thank you, Christine.
Great. And we'll pass on your comments to Trey Smith. In fact, there's a real good chance he's just heard them live on the air.
Yeah.
You know who else I heard? I pray that he heard. I hope Mike Murdoch heard it.
Hey, he's hearing it. Christine,
he
is here. In fact, let me tell
he's
you,
better.
Trey Smith came on the show, did the show here first. This was a world exclusive on Bob and Yurt Live.
That's right.
The book Thieves.
Mm-hmm.
I was holding in my hand the first copy that came off the printing press.
Yes.
And then he went to talk to the local Daystar affiliate in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And within 2 weeks, they were told, the local employees were told they were closing down the local studio and there would be no Daystar local production in Denver.
Wow.
And so did that have a connection? I'm not sure, but it could.
Hey,
thank you. We
got to
run, Christine. May God bless you, Christine.
And bless you too, Bob.
Thank you. Let's go to Denver, Joe Scott. We're almost out of time, but Ed, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi. I listened to you quite a bit, but this is the first time I've ever called in.
Well, welcome. You're on with Joe Scott, too.
Hi,
yeah,
Ed.
I'm calling in because I'm furious about how some people can be so gullible to fall into the traps of people like Mike Murdoch. I used to listen to him a while ago, and at that time, the discernment I had, he was a false guy. I mean, the guy was a joke.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Yeah,
they spent millions and millions of dollars sending to him when it could go to other places that could really help. I can't believe it.
Yeah, and that's one of the points Trey Smith makes. He says at least if Mike Murdoch was doing something with the millions of dollars he's taken in, if he was helping anyone, but he helps only himself. And Joe, he helps himself to the money and fills stash inside his secret closet behind electronic doors. And,
well,
and Ed, he's enriched himself to become a multimillionaire.
I know. The amount of people that believe in people like this is ridiculous.
And
I can't believe it.
And all the sexual immorality and the huge stash of pornography and the pornography that he produced himself with young women in the ministry. It is just so despicable. And basically, the founder of Daystar has his own sexual harassment lawsuits, Marcus Lamb. And it's such a tragedy.
Well, I don't know about all that stuff. I do watch Daystar.
Well,
and
the PTF,
I get a little irritated with, too. But
well, Ed, remember the PTL Club?
Yeah,
Jim Baker.
I used to. Yes.
Jim Baker and his sexual sin and the homosexual relationships he had with people who worked there at his Heritage USA.
This is a problem. I don't understand how people, when they can hear this stuff that's happening to people that are trying to preach God's word, why are they allowing them to keep listening and sending money into these groups? I don't understand it.
The televangelist world, Ed, is all about money.
I know it is.
It's about money. Mike Murdoch has written hundreds of books. Each one is the same topic: how to get rich by sending me money.
Or how to get your miracle.
Exactly. That's what
right.
That's not
how
what
to
God's
get your
plan
miracle.
Is.
Yeah, how to get your miracle. Why God wants you to send me money. You can write 200 books on that topic. Hey,
exactly.
Thank you, Ed. We're out of time. May God bless you.
Okay,
bless
thank you. Bye-bye.
Joe, we haven't even touched on Frank Pavone's profile at ProLifeProfiles.com. Thank you for joining me. We'll cover these stories in the future. May God bless you guys.